Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf. Chulin Kuf Chaf Vav, we're holding the lines from the top. V'rami, d'Rabbi Yosi ad Rabbi Yosi. Now we have an apparent contradiction between yesterday's Rabbi Yosi and today's Rabbi Yosi. So yesterday's Daf ended, it concluded with a premise. That according to Rabbi Yosi's opinion, even a tuma, a kazayis of mace material, which gives off tuma to anything under the same roof, tuma's oil. So that kazayis has some room to spare, has some room to breathe. It's under a regular, you know, roof with proper airspace, meaning there's a tefach. By a tefach of space above it. So it's in an area which constitutes a proper oil, then the tumah spreads to anything underneath that covering, but not beyond that. So that roof forms a barrier, protects anything beyond it. It stops it from continuing. But if it's trapped, tumah temuna buried, ritzutza trapped, squished, that tumah, according to the prevalent opinion, is beikas va'oilo. It punches through, it forces its way through, and just rises up. It goes through that barrier, all the way up. Rabbi Yosi disagrees with that opinion. His position is that even a tumah temuna, even a tumah item which is buried, which is trapped, will just stay in there, will be contained inside that containment, and not force its way through that barrier. Now we seem to have a Rabbi Yosi in the next Mishnah who says just the opposite, that in fact a tumah temuna will punch through and rise up. This now we have a Mishnah Akela, we have a dog, she'achal b'sar meis. He ate a chunk of flesh of a person who's a mace, which is matame be'oil. Now, typically, this would be considered tuma belua, swallowed tuma in a live animal, which doesn't give off tuma. It's swallowed inside. It's part and parcel of the animal. But here, umes hakel, the dog actually died, and the flesh is still fresh and undigested. So basically, you have a kelev who's serving as a container or as an oil, if you may, for that tumah material inside of him. And where is the kelev? Umutal alay skupa. He's lying on the threshold, in the middle of the doorway. Rashi says his mouth, his face is inside the house, and his tail side is outside the house. Okay, so if this would be the threshold, the doorway. Okay, and this is the dog, this is the head, this is the tail. He's sitting on the threshold. And we have face in, tail out. Okay. Rameo Imer, Imyesh Bitsavar. So what's the status of that house? Imyesh Bitsavar Pesiach Tapach. If the neck of that dog is wide enough, so the surface area is a tefach wide. Peseach tefach means it's a tefach wide. Right? So that constitutes an oil. For an oil, you have to have at least a tefach wide. And that top surface serves as a transmitter, transporter of the tumah lying beneath it, brings it into the house. Maybe it's a tumah v'imla, but otherwise, if the external surface area of that neck, so he works with external surface area. But otherwise, it's too narrow to constitute an oil. Maybe he's not going to bring the tumah into the house. Rabbi Yosi says like this, and at this point, it seemed like he's saying, "Roin mikneged hashkoif." We determine where the actual contaminated material is inside the animal. Where is it? Is it inside the inner part of the animal or the outer part of the animal? So basically, it would seem like Rabbi Yossi is referring to the second element of Rameir, where the Tzaber has no Tefach in dimension, so it's not going to be an oil. So now that Tumah is sort of stuck, it's trapped in a non-oil entity, it's just trapped all around. So what happens? The Tumah just punches right through and rises to the occasion. So if in fact that Kazayis is situated inside the on the inner portion of that dog in the house, so anything in the house is Tumah, because it sort of spreads out and affects everything. If it's on the outside, then the house is spirit. Rain, we look, we see, we determine. If the Tumah inside a dog is situated within the door jamb, Habai is Tumah. Then anything in the house is Tumah, because the house is housing Tumah. But if it's on the other side of the door, Habai is Tor. So let's just stop for a second. We already have our contradiction. It would seem like Rabbi Yossi clearly concurs with this concept that Tumah Temuna, the buried Tumah, will just rise up and mitame. Okay, let's just continue in the Mishnah. Rabbi Lezer Omer, he has a different opinion. He says it depends on the tail side of the animal, which is where the animal typically expels its content. That's considered the exit route of the Tumah. So it depends where that is. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Piv Lefnim, if the mouth, meaning the face, is inside the house and the backside is outside, so that's where the Tumah typically would travel. Habayis Tor, so the house is spirit of Tumah. But if it's the other way around, the house is considered Tumah, because that's the exit area of the Tumah, in which case the house is considered like part of the Tumah domain. Piv Lechutz, but if the mouth is facing outside and the back is inside, Habayis Tumah. Pipnei explains, since Shatumah Yoitza Derech Shulav, the Tumah typically leaves its tail area, and that's considered the exit route of the Tumah, and that's Metame the house. Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira Omer, he says, you know what, that's one way to look at it. A Tumah can be expelled from the back, but sometimes the Tumah can be vomited out of the front, and after all, that's where the Tumah went in, so the Tumah sort of bounces back that way too, halachically. He says, benkech, whether the face is facing inside or outside, or where, doesn't matter where it is. Habay is Tumah, the house is Tumah, because the house is considered an extended domain of that Tumah material. Okay. Now, our main focal point is Rabbi Yossi, right? Who responded to Rav Meir. We have to view where the Tumah is, and that's what determines. My love, let's assume I ain't betzavorei peseach tefach koi Rabbi Yossi. Apparently he was going on the second element of Rav Meir. There is no peseach tefach on that neck. So it doesn't qualify as a transporter, as an oil, so the stuff beneath it is just trapped in a small area, a non-oil qualifying area, that's called trapped Tumah. What's your basis say? What's the status of the house? Well, if that kazayis happens to be in the part of the dog which is inserted into the house, that whole house is Tumah. Anything under that roof is considered under the same roof as the Tumah, because the Tumah sprouts forth. Ushamami, no. So this confirms for us that in fact, even according to Rabbi's opinion, Tumah by Kaas, a buried Tumah rises up. In contrast to yesterday's conclusion. Amar Rava, no. When he said Rayan, he didn't mean let's determine where the kazayis is in the body of the dog vis-a-vis the house. Royin es chalal atumah katami. He was referring to the first element of Rameir, who says that if the top surface area of the neck, the out external dimension is a tefach wide, it qualifies as an oil and can transport the tumah from one side into the house. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with that. He says, I take issue with your method of determining dimension. It's not external, it's about the internal. The inside has to be an oil. When we speak about a tefach being a tefach wide, we're not talking about the outside, we're talking about the space inside, the internal dimension where the actual tumah is lying. That has to be a tefach. The gap there has to be a tefach wide to allow for it to be considered an oil. So that's what he's taking issue with. Ro'in is halal tumah ketani. So that was his response. Unrelated to the berry, he's talking about just the opposite. When it's a proper, in order to qualify for proper oil, you need halal hatumah, the hollow, the space, the internal dimension has to be a tefach wide. Roin is halal tumak tani, that's what he meant. That's first of all. And he actually took issue with another point as well. He looked back at his words, he says, Roin mekeneged ashkoif, something to do with the doorpost. What does that have to do? Rabbi Yesi betarti palak. Rabbi Yesi, in effect, is arguing on two points. He takes two issues with Rameir. Firstly, as we said, in terms of determining dimensions, so he responds to Rameir. First of all, the Ka'amris, in terms of what you said, that Yesh Bitzavari Peseach Tefach, maybe it's a Tuma. So the neck is a Tefach wide that serves as an oil to transport the Tuma to the house. Anan Basar Chalal Aznidan. Our focal point is the internal, not the external. It's about the chalal, the space inside that neck. I agree, if it's a tefach wide, fine, but you can't just work with the external dimensions. Right? It's about where the tumah is situated, which is inside. That has to be a tefach wide to qualify as an oil. Number two, vilka amris. In terms of what you said, ali skupa kula tumah, just in general, the tumah is sitting on that threshold, the whole house becomes tumah. No, you know what? There are two sides to a threshold, right? So this is the doorway, right? This is the doorway. This is the top of the threshold, of the doorway. Well, depends where the door is jamming, right? So until where the door jams, that's considered the inside of the house. But past that point, even if it's within the, doorpost area, that is halachically outside the house. So when you say it's kulei tami, no, mekeneged ashkoif v'lufnim, from the jam where it hits the jam, facing inside, habayis tami, yeah, if the tumah is there, you're right. That affects the house, that's part and parcel of the house, but mekeneged ashkoif, v'luchus rashi says shkoif, means banging, brings us a lot of rayas, mashkoifi, tarif ad shkoif, shkufis kodim, a lot of rayas from chumash. The point of contact, from there on outside, that's beyond the house. So tumah there does not affect the house. Okay, but in any case, we clarified that in fact Rabbi Yossi is consistent with yesterday's Rabbi Yossi, that tumah tumuna is not bekas ba'olam. Rabbi Achabar, the Rav Maslan Behedya, he had it clearly stated in the Mishnah, as we had explained, that Rabbi Yossi Omer Roin is chalal tumah. Rabbi Yossi was responding to this measurement system of Rameir by saying, look, it's about what's inside the neck. So the neck has to be big enough that the inside dimension has to be a tefach for it to be considered an oil. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Uman tana de palagolei to Rabbi Yossi. So at this point, we have two conclusions in terms of Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Firstly, that tumah tumuna is not bekas v'oil. Number two, which we discussed extensively yesterday, that according to Rabbi Yossi, the term noigeyat, touching, at times refers to tumas oil as well, which is a subset of nege, which is a variation of touching. It's an interaction, albeit in a different manner, from a distance, right? It still can be called negeya. But there's an opposing opinion, right? Who's the opposer of this opinion? Who considers negeya to be negeya only and not referring to tumas oil? Who disagrees with Rabbi Yossi? Who is of the opinion that the term nageya refers strictly to physical touch, physical interaction, rather than tumas oil? It's Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi Shimon. Return to Amad Beis. Shalosh tumas pershes bin ames. Rashi explains a person who was lifeless, a mace, has many, many aspects of tumah, a kazayas of his basar, his spine, his skull, bones, all different variations of tumah that can be taken from a mace. But there are three that are unique. Shalosh tumah is three elements of tumah, purchased from a mace, are taken off the mace, which are unique in a sense that their tumah capabilities is not all-encompassing. Typically, Ames is metame through maga, direct contact, direct touch, masa, by carrying the material, and oil. These three elements on this upcoming list, we only have two of the three in varying variations. So between maga, masa, and oil, we'll have only two out of three. So this one will have these two, this one will have those two, etc. Shtayim b'chol achas, two of the three tumah capabilities will be present in any of these aspects. So ushlish is embehem, but they don't have the third one. Elohim, what are the three on this list? Mloy tarvat rekev, spoonful of the decomposed material, batsam kasayra, barley-sized bone chip, v'goyel v'dayfik. Rashi explains goyel is the side walls of the coffin, v'dayfik is the cover of the coffin, which are metame, it's based on a pasuk. So these are the three items we're going to discuss. Meloy tarvat rekev, so the first item, which two elements of tumah does it have? Metame b'masa b'oil. You carry it, or you hover above it, your tummy. Ve'en metame b'mago, if you touch it, now here clearly, the term maga means physical touch. Right? That's why there's no tumas maga, because when you touch a heap of granules, you haven't really touched the entire heap of separate granules. Right? Each granule is separate from the next. When you touch a couple, you have touched just that point of contact. You haven't really touched the whole mass. Therefore, there's no tumas maga. So clearly, Reb Shimon, inciting the term maga, means physical contact. Not that maga means oil, right? So clearly, Reb Shimon disagrees with this semantics. Interchangeable maga mas oil maga approach. So where do you have tumas maga by a meis? Machas man with the other items. You don't have it by the rekev. Next on the list is etzem katsayram. What tumah does that have? Metame b'masa b'oil. You carry it, you touch it. B'masa b'maga. Ve'en metame b'oil. There's no oil on that. That's the halacha regarding the etzem kasayra. Ve'echon ahalei. Where do you have oil by the meis? Machas man regarding the other items. And finally, goyel v'dayfek. What do they have? Metame b'maga b'oil. But they don't have ve'en metame b'masa. Rashi says he's not sure how we know that. There's no masa. Ve'echon masoy. Where do you have masa by the meis? Imachas man regarding the other items. Okay, continues the Gemara. Kulis nevela b'kulis hasheretz tana rabbanan. So the marrow bone of a nevela, of a sheretz, is metame, provided the marrow is accessible through at least a little minuscule hole into which you can insert your body here and make contact with that edible material. But otherwise, if it's completely sealed, so even if you touch or carry that bone, there's no tumah because it only serves as a conduit if the contaminated material within it is somewhat accessible. And that's going to be learned from the following pasuk. Tana Rabbanan, here comes a brisa, but nevelasa, one physically interacts, touches nevela material, the flesh of the dead animal. Nevela means the flesh because nevela means it's been undergone a change for the worse. It turned from a live flesh to dead flesh. It only pertains to the flesh, which changes forms, it turns from life to dead, but the bone stays bone, stays in the same condition, whether it's alive or pretty much if it's alive or dead. So the visible change, the profound change, pertains to flesh. Bin Vlasa, he touched the actual flesh of an Avela. Vlebukul is stuma, as opposed to a sealed bone, Yachla filu nikva, perhaps even if it got a puncture, it will be free of tuma tamulem hanageya yitma. So Rashi says it's the extra yud. And again, yitma is coming to expand it, to apply tuma, if, in fact, the edible bone marrow material within it is somewhat exposed, somewhat accessible. In that case, the bone now serves as a shomer, as a conduit for that tuma, in which case if you touch it, you become tummy. Esha efsha liga tummy. If the edible material within it, the marrow of the nevela, is accessible, is able to be touched through that hole, tummy, then everything's tummy. But otherwise, if it's fully sealed, out of the way, then the bone is tahar. Shabzer es abaye el mi'ato. If you're telling me that sealed material does not give off tumah, what about a behema, a dead animal? It's still unwrapped in its hide. But oira, like the time, there shouldn't be any tumah because it's fully sealed. The answer is pukchazek. Go take a look. Come in a kav miyesh. But how many holes are there? You have the mouth, the nose, the eyes, so the flesh is accessible from the outside. Amalei papala the rava. Another question. Elamiat, if that's the case, that sealed the spear, kulya b'chelba, or kulya the kidney, and wrapped in its fat. Like the time, there shouldn't be any tumah because the flesh is sealed. No, tachazek. Come take a look. Kamachudin. How many flesh strands, nimshach and amena, emanate from that kidney through the fat to the outside? So technically, it is considered accessible. Ba'i Rav Oshia. So a sealed marrow bone, spirit of tumma. Punctured, there is tumma. What if he intends on puncturing? You haven't gotten around to it yet. So it's on its way, but not yet there. Ba'i Rav Oshia. He intends on puncturing it, but wasn't yet punctured. Ma, what's its status? Mechusar nekiva, the fact that it wasn't yet punctured. Kimechusar ma'as adam, is it treated as though it's lacking an action, meaning it's not yet there. So it's not yet. Tell me, or you can say, maybe not. The fact that it's on the program, so it's considered as though the food is already accessible. Hadar Pashta, he responded, yep, mechusar nekiva, just because it has no hole yet, lav k'mechusar masadami, it's not considered lacking. We treat it as though it's already exposed and accessible. Continues the Mishnah. Beitzas hasharetz, hamarukemet. So we know that there are eight creeping creatures, right? Shmoyne shvatzim, the mouse, toad, etc., that are metame if they die. What about the egg of one of these creatures? Hamarukemet, which has already developed somewhat of an embryo within it. So technically, it is sheretz material that's dead, right? But the egg is sealed. So once again, it's like a sealed marrow bone. Tehoira, if one touches that sealed egg, he's tor, unaffected by the content within. As we explained, because since the food material within it, the contaminated material is inaccessible, is sealed all around. There's no tumas maga, there's no tumas masa either. But nikva kolshu, if it got even a teeny little hole, tame. So now the whole thing is tame. Rashi explains, even though he didn't yet touch the embryo, he just touched the egg from the outside, but it's considered a shomer because it's guarding, it's sealing, it's protecting the internal material, and therefore serves as a conduit for that tuma. Now comes a very interesting phenomenon. Achbar, you have this unique mouse, not your very conventional mouse, shechetzui basar v'chetzui adama. This mouse is half flesh and half earth. Rashi explains, it's a certain type of achbar, which is not reproduced by way of standard mating system. Rather, it grows out of the ground. Interestingly, the Rambam in Pirsha Mishnah writes that is baffling as this phenomenon sounds, but he says that many people told me about it, that they've traveled and they've seen this type of creature growing out of the ground. So while it's still half and half, shechetzi basar, it's half flesh, shechetzi adama, it's still half earth. So it is sort of taking on the form of it. You see the formation fully, but half is not yet developed. What status does it have? It's not alive, so it's a dead sheretz at this point. And again, a basar, tummy. If one touches the flesh side, his tummy. Ba'adam ator, if he touches the earth side, his torah. It's not considered a sheretz. Rabbi Daimer, no. Afan again, ba'adam, shekinagdash, a basar, tummy. Likewise, if you touch the soil side, which is adjacent to the basar, which is forming as part of that, which is a sheretz, in development, then his tummy as well. Tanra ba'adam. Ha, hatmein. This is a pasuk by the Shvatzim. The extra hay covers all these items. The rabbi's beitz as asheretz, because asheretz includes even the beitz of the sheretz. You would think in order for the sheretz to be metame, it has to be one of those eight distinct types. So this undeveloped embryo of a sheretz, I understand it's coming from a sheretz, but it's not yet a toad. It's not a developed toad. Perhaps it doesn't have the status of a toad or of a snake, or of a of a mouse, right? Comes the pasuk and says, no, since it was laid by the sheretz and it's somewhat developed in there, it's going to have tumah. The kulas hasheretz, likewise, the marrow bone of a sheretz, these all give off tumah. Yochel afilu leirikma, perhaps the egg of the sheretz will give off tumah even without an embryo developed inside. Just a plain egg of a sheretz considered lifeless sheretz material and gives off tumah. Perhaps Talmud loimar, comes the pasuk and specifies hasheretz. Not an egg. It has to be like a sheretz, like a creeping being. Ma sheretz sherikim. So just like the actual sheretz is something which has the form of a creature, af beitzas hasheretz sherikim. Likewise, the egg of a sheretz is only going to be considered a metame if it has the form of a sheretz. So there's some sort of embryo within it which is reminiscent of a sheretz. So once we're matame the beitzas hasheretz with the embryo, perhaps even without a hole, completely sealed, tamalei mahanagia yitma. Pasuk says, if you touch, right, you become tame. What is the pasuk saying? Eshef she liga needs to be that possibility to touch the internal material. Then you are tame for even touching the egg. But ve'es she'ef shaliga, but there's no way to touch that internal material, then, right, if it's fully sealed, right, the egg is fully sealed, the bone is fully sealed, then when you touch from the outside, you are tar. So on the one hand, the pasuk is adding the egg and adding the bone, but there's a condition to it, provided the internal material is accessible from the outside. And in that case, even if you touch the outside, it's an active shemer which serves as a conduit for the tumah. Become a kibasa. How big does that hole have to be? Even a minuscule hole. Kuchut asar, size of a hair, which allows you to insert your body here. She'ev shaliga, kuchut asar. Or bichut asar, which allows you to technically insert your body here and make contact with that internal material. So once there's that availability, once that option is there, now the tumah is activated and applies to the external shell as well as a shamer. What about this ground mouse? Ach b'shechetzi, I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi. So Tanakama says this half-developed Achbar, which is half flesh, but the other side still earth. If you touch the flesh side of your tummy, Amar Rav Shimon Levi, Ushish is apnei kulay. There's a condition attached to it, provided that the flesh side is really developed from head to toe. So half of it is fully developed, half not. So if you touch the half developed side of your tummy, but if even the half flesh side is not fully developed, there's no tumah. Iko the masna asefa. Now some apply this rule to the second part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Afanagei ba damish neged basar tameh." Even if you touch the opposite side, the earth side, your tameh. On that we have this stipulation. Amar Shem Alevi, behu, on condition, shehishvitz apnei kulei. That the flesh side is fully developed from head to toe. In that case, even the earth side is sort of connected and relates to it as well. Okay, so we have two versions of this stipulation. This requirement to have hishrus up nikuloi fully formed from head to toe, is it referring to the Tanakama? That when you touch the flesh side, you become tummy, provided that it's fully developed. Is it going on Rabbi Yehuda? Even the earth side is metami, provided the flesh side is fully developed. Now, man di masna reisha, the one who applied the rule to the first opinion, koshkana seifa, certainly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is a requirement. Because even according to Tanakama, who's speaking that you're touching the flesh, he still says, well, it's only when it's fully developed. Certainly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where you're not even touching the flesh side, turning the other side. This would be a requirement for a tumah, that the flesh side, at least the flesh side, is fully developed. And that sort of drags in the earth side as well. But, however, Oman the Maslan Seifa, the one that applied the rule to the second part of the Mishnah of Yehuda, that by touching the earth's on your tummy as well. But there's a condition, provided the flesh side is fully developed. Aval Resha, but perhaps, according to Tanakama, who's speaking that you're touching the flesh side directly, perhaps he doesn't have this requirement. Afak Avdala Yishritz, perhaps even if it isn't fully developed from head to toe, whatever it is, and Smetame. Okay, so we'll pick it up tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. In the meantime, we have interesting discussion regarding Tuma Tumuna, which according to Rabbi is not Bekeva Oila. We have the idea that Negea can sometimes refer to Oil according to Rabbi Yossi, but not according to Rabbi Shimon. We have Psukim that the Kulis of an Avela, of a Sheretz, the Beitz HaSheretz is Metame, but again, provided that the material is accessible, there's some sort of hole which allows you to insert at least the Chut HaSara to get there, and that activates the Tumah on the whole thing. We have an interesting phenomenon of this beta achbar shechetzi bosav chetzi adama, half flesh, half earth. So a sheretz in production. What happens according to Tanakam? If you touch the flesh side, your tummy, according to Rabbi, even the earth side, and there's a condition that at least the flesh side should be fully developed. Okay, all the best to you, and atzlacha rabba.